So Liz is in conversation with Saul Baum. Saul Baum.
Bourne.
Bourne. Please spell your name for the person who's going to summarise this recording.
Saul Baum. S-A-U-L-B-A-U-M.
And we're here at Glastonbury on Tuesday.
2015.
The 30th of Glastonbury, I think.
Is it?
I don't know. Somewhere around there. I might have used that number yesterday, but who knows. So, Saul, when did you first come across No Fit State Circus?
I first came across No Fit State Circus when I was a child, probably about 7 or 9, when they used to come to the West Wales Children's Festival in Narmer and do some fun circus stuff with all us kids.
Right, and you used to live out there at that time?
Yeah.
Right, an Narberth person.
Yeah.
So what did you see him do there as a child then? Can you remember any particular shows?
Yeah, Ten and a Clown. Might have been, I don't know, Goffy, might have been Goffy or somebody. He was some really funny clown. And Pies, Sponge Pies.
Is that with John Paul?
Well, yeah. And then John Paul and Jack. Jack taught me how to ride a unicycle when I was like 12.
Cool.
Yeah.
And Holly must have been there as well, because they used to do that together with their dad, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
So at the tender age of what, you learnt to unicycle and juggle?
Yeah, about 12 or 13.
And how old are you now, Saul?
35 now.
It's a pretty good long history. So then, so you came across them, and when did you start working for them or being more involved with them?
Oh, that was a lot later. In 2004, I think, I wanted to do some more circus, and I saw they were looking for some crew jobs online, so I gave them a call, and Ali said, "You live in Wales?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Well, you can be a trainee performer if you want." I said, "All right, I'll give it a go." And that was the Immortal. In the beginning with the silver tent.
Yeah,
back in the day.
So you were already doing some circus skills by that point and performing or?
Yeah, I was doing like street shows and working with a community circus in West Wales and doing some teaching workshops for kids.
And who was running that?
Robin Benson. And his wife, ex-wife, yeah.
So you joined No Fit Circus and your skills at that point were what?
Well, quite minimal, like a bit of juggling and manipulation and that was it. A bit of unicycling, no aerial, and I knew how to climb up stuff. And ropes. I knew about ropes and pulleys, and that. So that was.
How did you know about ropes and pulleys?
From sailing boats. That's why me and Barnes got on, because we like sailing.
Right.
Yeah.
So then, presumably, you auditioned. Can you tell me a bit about that? If you can remember it.
For the show. No. I was Welsh, so I got a place. So I was lucky. Yeah.
Certain number of people had to come from Wales.
That's right, yeah.
Right, so you didn't do an audition?
No, I think they were actually struggling to find people to come and work for them at that time because it wasn't very much money and there weren't very many Welsh people who liked circus. Just the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was for the first professional show of Immortal.
Yeah.
So, you know, t- tell me about your first few days after leaving West Wales and coming, presumably, to Cardiff to do that.
Pontypridd?
Mm.
I think we rehearsed there.
Mm.
Oh well, it was tough. But good. You know, it was a whole new world. Pretty physical.
Did you get your own caravan and stuff and bring it down, or what?
Yeah, well, I did. I got a caravan and I bought it from Peter Reynolds for 70 quid, I think. It was quite big. I didn't have, my car wasn't big enough to tow it. So I towed someone else's caravan. And there was an accident on the road, and someone lost their home, and I borrowed another caravan off a friend so they could have a home again. So I ended up with two caravans and a car. Yeah.
Did you have the accident?
Oh no, it was Anna and Annetta.
Oh, that's right.
And she had a blowout all in the little white American thing, and Annette lost the caravan.
Mm.
Yeah.
I remember that happening. I was heard it on the radio as I was driving, and then I came across it on the on the lay-by or on the side of the road.
Yeah.
You just knew when you heard that a caravan had gone over that it, on that certain road that we were meant to be travelling on, it was one of us. Which was always a bit horrible, really. It's like, ooh, who was that then? So, you joined OFIT Circus then on, was it a traineeship or apprenticeship or something?
To start off the project, then OFIT State had got some funding from the Arts Council to take on trainee performers and make a show with them. And well, with a few professional performers. And so, yeah, so that started like that.
And so you were one of how many?
I think there was eight of us. I think there was eight, I can't be sure.
And so what did your training scheme consist of?
Just learning the ropes, you know, like trapeze and aerial and ground acrobatics, trumpet, juggling, dancing, like, it was, yeah, everything.
And who was doing the training?
Well, legendary Lynn was in charge of the training program, and bog standard Lynn, she was my teacher. She was teaching a swinging trapeze, and the other professionals were passing on their skills to us, you know.
And you worked with the director as well for that.
We had the wonderful Forenza, Guidi.
And how was that? How did you find working with Forenza?
Oh, it was pretty intensive. Long hours, quite emotional, hard work.
What do you think you gained from that, though? Do you think you took anything away from that training that's helped you in your future life?
Yeah. Well, here we are today, outside the Big Toff at Glastonbury. I reckon it must have helped for sure.
So tell me about your role in that show and what you did in Immortal.
I did some unicycling with Dan. We didn't do too much because we were just the trainees and like learning, and our skill level wasn't that high. So ensemble bits and some climbing, pulling some ropes and pulleys.
Do you have a character? Trampet.
Yeah. That's right.
Who was that?
James Dean. Yeah, that was it.
Was he a nice guy? Did you like being him?
Well, it was a bit boring, like, you know, told to stand over there and look pretty, and it was a bit boring after a while.
So where did that tour take you then? Was it,
Well, funnily enough, we went all the way around Britain. We went to London, I remember that. We went to Birmingham, Wales, and we went all over the place, and then they took me home, right, and they dropped me off in Pembroke Dock on the hill, on a windy hill in West Wales, just where I lived before. So after I ran away with the circus, they took me home. I wasn't that happy about it.
That's right, I think the last gig that tour was Pembroke Dock, wasn't it?
It was Pembroke Dock on the hill, yeah.
And how much were you paid for that tour, can you remember?
I think we had £150 a week, maybe.
But you were well fed and watered as well, presumably.
Yeah, well, on the limited funds the company was trying to operate on, they managed to feed us, which is great. Yeah.
And what do you think was the best bits about that tour? You know, what bits were the most fun bits of that tour?
Oh. I don't know how much. I mean, we must have had some fun, but in the memory of it, it just seemed like it was a lot of hard work back then.
Right.
And just everyone's staying together and just being shattered all the time and moving all the time and not having the infrastructure and like they have today, and people not knowing who we were and having small audiences. I think one show we had less audience members than the cast members. And Birmingham, I don't know if you remember that one. We got a photo with all of the cast and all the audience in one photo.
That's right.
There were some low times on that tour, as well as I'm sure we did have fun, but it was a struggle.
So did you do a second year on Immortal, or did you do any of the following Immortals or Taboos?
Yeah. Not the second year. By the time it came round, I'd already taken on another job, and I didn't want to tour again. It was too much. But I went to visit some of my new friends. And the third year, I went to work a little bit when they needed a hand. I think I went to Denmark. That was nice. That was like a holiday. Mm. That was all right. And then the fourth year, now the company had grown a bit and were a bit more established, they had some more money for an assistant rigger and gave Barnes the choice of maybe who he'd like, and he put me forward for it, which was nice. So then, yeah, I went back in the fourth year of Immortal before we went to change the Taboo and did 3 years. Three years of on the show's rigging.
So you worked on Taboo as well then?
Yeah. So year four, five and six were the tent. And well, lots of stuff happened. We went all over Europe, met a lady, had a baby, got a different caravan, got another bus.
And did you prefer that side of it at that point? You know, was it a little bit easier without some of the hardships?
Yeah, I mean the company were going places by then, and they've been doing it for a few years. They knew what they were on about, and I prefer rigging than performing. I think you have to be really healthy and train every day to be a performer. I think maybe I was just a bit lazy. So rigging, it's still pretty tricky. You have to think about what you're up to.
So
it was a good 3 years, yeah. And then they offered me Barnes' job when he left, but I turned it down to go to New Zealand. And then I got back from New Zealand and gave Ali a call to see what's happening with the circus, and gave her a hand with the Park Lives when they were running that outdoor show. And then that went on to Barricade, and then did a couple of years on Barricade, in charge of the rigging, which was nice to have, grown up, matured a bit.
Got the skills and the
knowledge, that's it, yeah. A couple of years of that. And now here we are.
And so what have you been doing for the last week, Saul?
Oh, the last week we've been here working down at the Big Top in the circus field at Glastonbury Festival. I've been helping with all the amazing circus shows from around the world. We've been in our tent, just they've been having a great time, and everyone's been having a lovely time watching them.
And of course, everything's pretty much done on counterweighting now, there, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, a lot of it. It's quite a quick way to get people up and down, or things up and down. Mm. Yeah, and I've been performing again, funnily enough, after all these all gone around in a circle, and I've been working on a show up the hill on this ship called the Mary Celestial.
Oh, yeah, have you been working on that then?
Mm.
Performing on it?
Well, yeah, I was going to be rigging, but there wasn't that much rigging to do. Mm. So once we'd done that, they thought maybe I could perform.
Right.
Yeah, and one of our performers was out because she's really ill, and it's been sweet. I've been doing some unicycling, some bungees, and some acting.
That's cute. Cool. It's a nice little show, isn't it? Yeah. And the Mary Celeste.
Yeah.
So, out of all the shows you've worked on, what do you think was the best show?
The best show in the Big Top, or the best show I've worked on
ever? The best show that you've enjoyed working on with No Fit State.
Oh.
You've got to choose one.
One.
That's a ground sheet being shook.
Oh, that's just a really hard question. I think probably enjoyed it the most when we were touring with Taboo, and I spent 3 months in Europe, and you get the show really slick and everyone knows what they're doing, and you're having a lovely time going around Europe to cities, doing your show to hundreds and thousands of people, and yeah, it's not a bad life.
And the biggest bane of an existence like this, living in a field or a car park in a caravan?
Oh, probably just having to deal with all the people. Because you all live together on the road, and you work together, and you eat together, and you sleep together, and you shit together, and then you have arguments together, and you just have to learn like not to take it personally. That basically, like, if someone's really grumpy, maybe they're having a bad time, and it's not actually like your fault. Yeah, that's one. But I mean, you get people everywhere, don't you? So.
And the best party.
The best party, I reckon, was when we were outside Tower Bridge in London. I wasn't working, so that must have been the second year. I just came to visit with some mates. Did you go to Tower Bridge? That was a pretty good party. That was pretty epic.
Was that end of tour party, I think?
Yeah, that was the party where Zoe went missing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was quite full on. But yeah, there's been some great barbecues that we've had over the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And do you think you'll ever work for them again? Are you continuing to work for
them? Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, I don't do that much anymore now with my daughter and school, and they do long shows, you know, going around the world, and it's a big commitment. I don't want to be away from my daughter. But yeah, I was talking to Lynn the other day. She needed a hand with some rigging for something, but I was busy. I was in London with a different company on a show, so I couldn't do it for her. So yeah, I'm sure.
And what do you think? This is might be a tricky one to answer, but what do you think it is about the culture and ethics of NoFit State that have made them successful finally?
I think it's the fact that they work really hard and just don't give up and continue, and they've just been pushing it and pushing it. Tom's got a dream, you know, and he's going for it. I think that's probably, you know, and the fact that they do really good shows.
Yeah.
And now people, they've been touring professionally for 10 years now, is it, with the tent? Yeah. And now they've been producing theatre shows and outdoor shows. And the company's been growing. And people sort of know the name now. Yeah. You know, you can wear one of their hoodies and you have random people stop you and be like, ah, NoFit State, you work with them. And yeah, they're becoming, well, probably Britain's, one of Britain's leading contemporary circuses, touring internationally. Keep going for it, really, isn't it? That's, yeah. That's why, you know, Tom, he's like a dog with a bone, isn't he?
That's a lovely finishing point. Thank you, Saul.